Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Magandang-magandang umaga mga kababayan, kayo'y patuloy na nakikinig sa programa ng SBS Filipino ngayong ika-30 ng Marso taong 2026. Kumusta po kayong lahat at kumusta ang simula ng inyong Semana Santa? Kahapon, araw ng Linggo ay nagkaroon na ng pagdiriwang o yung Linggo ng Palaspas bilang simula ng mga pagninilay-nilay ng marami nating mga kababayan, lalo na ng mga Katoliko. At kayo, sa mga abala ngayong Easter long weekend, ako may mga updates tayo. At kasama natin ngayong araw ang ating tagapaghatid ng balita, Annalyn Violata. Magandang umaga, Annalyn.
Magandang umaga sa iyo, Edinel. At syempre, magandang umaga sa mga suki nating tagapakinig dito sa SBS Filipino.
At Annalyn, ito nga nabanggit ko, no, ngayong week ay Semana Santa, panahon ng pagninilay-nilay, pero panahon din ng pahinga para sa maraming mamamayan.
Oo, yung iba ay nagsimula na, no, parang sinulit nila last week yung kanilang last day sa kanilang pagpasok sa trabaho, at ngayong simula na to, o ngayong araw na ito ang simula ng kanilang mga leave o bakasyon.
Oo, kaya yung may mga anak o may mga chikiting na nag-aaral ay nag-aantay pa na matapos, ano, yung huling araw ng kanilang eskwela at makapagsimula ng kanilang mahaba-haba ring bakasyon. Parang, kung hindi ako nagkakamali, 2 o 3 linggo.
Mahigit 2 linggo, particular dito sa New South Wales, ang huling araw ng klase ay sa araw ng Webes.
Nako, nalalapit na nga. At sigurado maraming abala ngayong Easter long weekend. May mga babiyahe, may mga pupunta sa beach, may mga uuwi or mag-outing kasama ng kanilang mga pamilya. Pero meron pong paalala ang Royal Life Saving Society Australia na tumataas ang panganib ng aksidente, lalo na sa tubig, kapag ganitong Easter holiday. At meron tayong ilang mga tips mula sa Royal Life Saving Society Australia para manatiling ligtas. Ito muna yung para sa mga beachgoers, ano, ibabahagi namin ni Annalyn. At una dyan, ang kanilang sinasabi ay bantayang mabuti ang mga bata at siguraduhin nasa arm's reach o abot kamay lamang sila kapag nasa tubig.
Lalong-lalo na, Edinel, ano, dun sa mga bata na talagang malilinggit pa at sobrang minsan hindi sila mapigil sa paglalangoy. At syempre, iwasan ang alak sa tubig. Isa ito sa pangunahing sanhi ng pagkalunod dahil nakakaapekto sa judgment at balanse. Particular doon sa mga legal na, no, yung mga excited na sila ay legal na makainom. Kaya naman parang natutodo nila. Pero mas maganda na maging sigurado at ligtas, lalo na kung kayo ay magpupunta sa tabing dagat.
Tama. At hindi lahat ng beaches dito ay pinapayagang makapagdala ng alak o ng mga ganitong inumin. Kaya naman, kailangan din na isipin lagi ang kaligtasan. At isa pa sa kanilang mga payo ay magsuot ng life jacket kung magbo-boating o kahit mangingisda kayo, lalo na dun sa mga ilog, lawa o dagat. Sinasabi nga sa kanilang datos, ano, nasa 6 to 8 deaths ang kanilang naitatala kada taon kapag ganitong panahon ng Easter holiday. Kaya mahalagang pakinggan ang kanilang mga paalala.
At ito pa, Edinel, napakahalaga nito, lalong-lalo na hindi lang doon sa mga naglalangoy, kung hindi yung mga nag-rock fishing o yung mga nangingisda in particular, no, huwag mag-isa. Siguraduhin na mas ligtas kung ikaw ay may kasama sakaling may emergency. Particular yan doon sa mga lumalayo sa tabing dagat kung saan may mga lifesavers o may mga nakabantay, mas maraming mga tao.
Oo, at maganda rin na laging alam, ano, nung inyong mga kamag-anak or pamilya kung kayo'y lumabas ng bahay, kung saan kayo pupunta para may idea din sila. At kung kayo naman ay lalayo, alamin nyo muna yung kondisyon ng mga lugar na inyong pupuntahan. Maraming aksidente ang sinasabing nangyayari sa mga lugar na hindi tayo pamilyar. May mga malalakas na alon, rip currents, o yung may mga nakatagong panganib sa ilalim ng tubig. So kung bago kayo doon sa beach na yon, kailangan matiyak din ninyo kung ano yung current. Kasi ito yung sinasabi nila na madalas nagiging dahilan ng pagkalunod, hindi ba, Annalyn?
Oo, yung parang akala mo kalmado ang tubig, pero yung pala humihigop yun pailalim. At syempre, bukod dyan, sumunod sa mga safety signs at lifeguards na nakabantay sa mga tabing dagat. At kung nasa beach naman, manatili lamang na lumangoy sa pagitan ng red at yellow flags. Napakahalaga nito, Edinel, lalong-lalo na dun sa mga bata na talagang parang excited na excited sa tubig.
Oo, at dun sa mga bago pa lang din dating dito sa Australia na hindi pa alam, kasi sanay tayo sa beach sa Pilipinas, kahit saan pwede kang lumangoy, dito ay may mga sinusunod na area or merong mga ligtas na lugar kung saan ka maaaring lumangoy na merong nagbabantay. At mula naman sa Crime Stoppers Australia, meron din silang paalala sa mga magmamaneho o yung mga babiyahe, dahil pag Easter break, sinasabi nila na napaka-busy ng mga daan. Syempre, nandyan yung mga traffic. At dyan din nagkakaroon ng ilang mga aksidente sa kalsada dahil na rin maraming pagod or maaring distracted sila sa pagmamaneho. Kaya't may mga payo din, may mga paalala para sa mga magmamaneho. Una na dyan ay iplanong mabuti at mag-allow ng extra travel time kung meron kayong mga road trips ngayong week na ito.
At syempre mahalaga dyan kung malayo ang inyong biyahe, kung mahigit isang oras, ay napakahalaga yung inyong regular na break o medyo magpahinga ng konti, lalong-lalo na kung kayo ay feeling nyo pagod at inaantok-antok kayo.
Tama, kung walang karelyebo ano, sa pagmamaneho, mahalaga yung pahinga. At wag ding mag, syempre, ito pangunahin din, ano, wag magmaneho ng nakainom o merong mga impluwensya ng pinagbabawal na gamot. So, isa yan sa mga madalas din sinasabi ano, sa mga datos na nagiging cause ng aksidente.
Oo, yan ay talagang, at syempre, hindi lang dun sa aksidente, kundi para sa New South Wales, may penalty yan kung kayo ay
demerits.
Mahulihan kayo na kayo ay nag-drink driving. Hindi lang neto bawal, kung hindi, syempre yung kaligtasan mo rin, pangunahin dyan, Edinal. At syempre yung maapektuhan mo sakaling magkaroon ng aksidente. At syempre, iwasan ang anumang distraction kabilang dyan ang paggamit ng telepono.
Yan,
kung may tumatawag sa inyo, wag muna ninyong sagutin. O kung kailangan sagutin, huminto sa tabi ng kalsada.
Mm-hmm. At syempre, kapag kayo nasa kalsada na, kailangan haba-habaan ang pasensya. Especially ngayong holiday, asahan na ninyo yung medyo matraffic na sitwasyon, siksikan sa mga kalsada at mga pangunahing lugar na pinupuntahan ng mga tao. So, mas maging mapagpasensya po sa daan. At syempre, sa mga aalis naman ng kanilang tahanan, paalala rin po ng Crime Stoppers, ano, kung iiwan nyo po ang inyong mga bahay, siguraduhin ninyong nakalock ang inyong mga pintuan at mga bintana.
At ito nako, kung tayo ay babiyahe, iwasan na i-post ang inyong mga plano ng pagbiyahe o inyong mga holiday sa social media. Yung real time, kumbaga yung sasabihin nyo, ay aalis na kami sa bahay, papunta na kami kung saan man. Dahil ito ay pwedeng maging paraan ng mga masasamang loob o yung may mga tinitignan na...
Oo, may mga nakabantay pala.
Oo.
At alam ko maraming excited na i-post nagma-my day or i-share kung ano yung mga activities nila for the day. Pero para sa kaligtasan, meron kasing mga iba na nagmamanman sa inyong mga tahanan na hindi natin alam, ay baka sakaling dun nila nakukuha yung impormasyon sa mga pinupost ninyo sa social media. So maging maingat po tayo. At maglagay din ang mga timers or mga ilaw at radyo para makita nila na parang may tao sa loob ng bahay. Yung iba ganito yung ginagawang trick. Kami din minsan ganito yung ginagawa namin. Laging bukas ang ilang mga ilaw, o kaya naman meron din talaga kaming mga naasahan na mag-check or magbantay ng bahay.
Napakahalaga niyan, Edinel, yung kumbaga parang papakita mo na merong tao sa inyong tahanan. Ano? At syempre, kung meron kayong kapitbahay na maasahan, ito ay napakahalaga naman para doon sa inyong mga sulat para hindi madukot ng mga masasama ang intensyon. Ano? At
o yung mga parcel.
Oo. Napakalaga niya. At syempre, para makiusap din sa inyong kapitbahay para naman dun sa paglabas ng inyong mga basurahan.
Ayan.
Para sa pagkolekta ng basura.
Kung matagal-tagal kayong mawawala, napakaswerte naman na may mga mababait na ganitong kapitbahay na napapakiusapan. Ano? So, sa mga aalis din, siguraduhin nakalock kahit yung mga garden sheds ninyo, mga garahe at side gates. Huwag kakalimutan yung lahat ng mga posibleng daanan ng mga masasamang loob, ay tiyakin po ninyo na secured at sarado.
At panghuli na lang, Edinel, napakahalaga nito na syempre huwag ibalandra at i-display nakikita sa bintana ang inyong mga mahalagang gamit o yung mga valuables. Ilayo yan sa bintana, syempre itago kung saan hindi makikita
Oo, kasi nakakaakit yan ano, doon sa ilang mga masasamang loob at maaaring yan ang targetin para sa inyong mga tahanan. So, isecure po ninyo ang inyong mga kagamitan, isecure ang inyong mga sarili din, at syempre maging maingat po tayo lalo na ngayong panahon na ito. Saan man po kayo pupunta, magmamaneho man kayo o kung saan man po ang inyong mga plano ngayong Easter holiday. At syempre, sa mga kababayan din natin na magninilay-nilay, sana ay mas maging restful at maging meaningful ang week na ito para sa ating lahat.
Paalala lang, Edinela, yes. No, para doon sa mga babiyahe at yung mga talagang aalis, yung mga magdadrive. Mm-hmm. Double demerit points ang ipinapatupad sa bahagi ng New South Wales, ACT, at ganoon din sa Western Australia sa kabuuan ng Easter long weekend. Ito ay mula 12:01 a.m. sa Webes, April 2, hanggang 11:59 p.m. sa Lunes, April 6.
Aray ko, nako, double demerits. Medyo malaki-laki ito, kaya alalahanin po ninyo ano, ang kaligtasan, hindi lamang ninyo, kundi yung inyo pong mga nakakasalubong, yung inyo mga nasa paligid, at yung iba pang mga nagmamaneho sa paligid ninyo. So, sa ating mga kababayan, kung meron din kayong iba pang mga tips na nais i-share para sa pangkaligtasan ngayong week na ito, ibahagi nyo po sa amin sa SBS Filipino. At Annalyn, ano naman ang mga dapat asahan at abangan sa iyo sa mga susunod na linggo, susunod na araw?
Tayo ay magbabalik sa araw ng Biyernes. Sa Biyernes Santo, ako po ang inyong makakasama, pero maghahati tayo ng iba pang mga tampok na ulat sa kalagitnaan ng linggo ito. At syempre, araw-araw tayong mapapakinggan dito sa SBS Filipino, alas 10 hanggang alas 11 ng umaga. Maganda umaga po sa inyong lahat.
Maraming salamat, Annalyn Violata. Sa atin naman pong pagbabalik, ating mapapakinggan ano nga bang mga hakbang ng pamahalaan para sa tumitinding krisis pagdating sa enerhiya at fuel na nararanasan sa buong mundo at nararanasan din ng maraming mga mamamayan dito sa Australia. Lahat ng yan, makalipas ang ilang paalala. Marami po tayong hatid na mga ulat sa inyo ngayong umaga at kaugnay ng mga kaganapan sa loob at labas ng bansa. At bilang isa sa mga pangunahin nating ulat, iginigiit ng pamahalaan ng Australia na wala pa itong natatanggap na direktang kahilingan mula sa United States para sa military aid sa gitna ng digmaan nito laban sa Iran, kasunod ng pampublikong batikos mula kay Donald Trump. Pinuna din ng Pangulo ng US ang mga kaalyadong bansa dahil sa umano'y kakulangan ng suporta habang patuloy namang naapektuhan ang presyo ng langis sa buong mundo dahil sa pagsasara ng Strait of Hormuz. Samantala, ayon sa ulat, iginigiit ng gobyerno na mahalagang maresolba agad ang digmaan habang unti-unti nang nararamdaman sa lokal na antas ang epekto nito sa ekonomiya at lipunan. Sa Talkback Radio sa Sydney, ramdamang ng mga tumatawag ang pressure, gaya na lang ng isang babaeng tumawag sa Radio 2GB.
I was just panicking, seeing, you know, driving past five different fuel stations with no fuel, thinking, well, what do I do? I mean, if, you know, there's no fuel, what if my kids get sick? I can't pick them up and I've got no family help. I do everything on my own.
Pero hindi ito nag-iisang kaso lamang, at sa buong bansa, mahigit 500 fuel stations ang nakakaranas ng kakulangan ng supply habang nagpapatuloy ang digmaan sa Middle East na nakakaapekto sa global supply chains. Ayon kay Dan Tihan, kulang ang agarang aksyon ng pamahalaan.
Where's the legislation? It's not here. It is not here. Where is the urgency in dealing with the national fuel crisis?
At sa panig naman ng pamahalaan, iginiit nitong seryoso ito sa pagtugon sa krisis. Inutusan ng mga fuel company na maglabas ng higit 500 million liters ng petrol at diesel mula sa emergency reserves, lalo na para sa mga regional areas na mas matindi ang kakulangan. Kinumpirma din ng gobyerno na 6 na fuel tankers ang darating bagong ika-8 ng Abril mula sa China at iba pang bansa. Ayon kay Ginong Chris Bowen, papalitan ng mga bagong tanker ang 6 na naunang shipment na nakansela. Dagdag pa niya, may mga bagong kasunduan sa Singapore, Japan, Malaysia para sa supply ng langis.
I have also been talking to the Malaysian government. I'm very, very pleased with those conversations. The Malaysian government has indicated to me they regard their role as a reliable supplier of liquid fuel to Australia extremely importantly, and that they see Australia as a key ally and friend.
Gayunpaman, may ilang estado na nananatiling nag-aalala dahil sa inaasahang magtatagal pa ang bago tuluyang maramdaman ang epekto ng dagdag na supply. Ayon naman kay Ginoong David Crisafulli, iba ang karanasan ng publiko kumpara sa sinasabi ng pamahalaan.
Comments out of Canberra that there's more fuel today than 2 months ago belies Aussies' intelligence. They know they're paying more. They know it's getting harder to get fuel.
At dahil dito, magpupulong muli ang mga leader ng estado at federal na pamahalaan sa susunod na linggo para sa emergency talks. Sa New South Wales naman, naghahanda na ang pamahalaan para sa posibleng paggamit ng emergency powers. Naglabas ng abiso si Ginoong Penny Shop sa mga fuel provider upang isumite ang datos ng kanilang supply at benta. Ayon naman kay Chris Means, magiging koordinado ang anumang hakbang kasama ang ibang estado at pambansang pamahalaan.
We'll look at the circumstances, the inbound fuel tankers to Australia. If that number drops significantly, then we'll make the decisions that we need to do, hopefully with the other states, certainly with the national government, to do whatever we can to manage fuel demand. But we're not going to jump to the end. This needs to be a proportionate, sensible, common sense approach to what is an international problem affecting every jurisdiction and every marketplace in the world.
Pero hindi lamang supply ang problema, kundi pati na rin ang presyo. Patuloy na tumataas ang presyo ng fuel dahil sa krisis, ngunit ang mga istasyon ay mapapatunayang nananamantala umano at maaring pagmultahin ng hanggang $100 million. At inaprubahan ng Federal Parliament ang bagong batas na magdodoble ng multa laban sa price gouging. Ayon naman sa tagapagsalita ng NRMA na si Peter Curry, nagsisimula nang mag-stabilize ang mga presyo matapos ang malaking pagtaas.
We've seen oil prices fall off and overnight quite considerably. What we need is for that to be sustained so that we start to see that flow on with the wholesale prices, because until it gets passed on the wholesale at the wholesale level, we're not going to get any relief at the bowsers.
Samantala, umaabot na rin ang epekto ng krisis sa iba pang sektor. Ayon sa mga social support groups, may mga tumatanggap ng Centrelink payments na nanganganib mapatawan ng penalty dahil hindi makadalo sa in-person appointments dahil sa kakulangan ng fuel. Sa hospitality sector, nanawagan naman ang Australian Restaurant and Cafe Association ng pansamantalang surcharge upang matugunan ang pagtaas ng gastos. Ayon sa industriya, apektado ang supply ng sangkap at posibleng tumaas pa ang presyo ng pagkain. Ayon naman kay Bridget McKenzie, nararanasan din ito ng iba pang industriya.
We do need to have a serious conversation about focusing on critical industries though.
At habang nagpapatuloy ang digmaan sa Middle East, muling binatikos ni US President Donald Trump ang Australia dahil sa umano'y kakulangan ng tulong. Sa cabinet meeting, sinabi niyang not great ang Australia at siya ay a little surprised. Lumagda rin ang Australia sa isang multi-nation resolution para sa muling pagbubukas ng Strait of Hormuz. Ngunit ayon kay Ginoong Richard Marles, wala pang direktang kahilingan mula sa US para sa karagdagang tulong.
We have been providing an E7 for the defence of the Gulf states. That was at the request of the UAE. I mean, the one request we've had from the United States is to provide support for the Gulf states, which is in fact what we are doing. And that's where we see our national interest.
May ilang analyst na nagsasabi namang mas may advantage ang Australia bilang energy exporter kumpara sa ibang bansa. At ayon kay John Blackburn ng Australian Institute of Energy, logistics ang pangunahing problema at hindi kakulangan ng supply.
Some people are hoarding and getting all this other stuff, so the supply chain is actually starting to choke up. And now when you're trying to reverse that, which the government's doing by releasing stocks, you're putting it back into that distribution train that is under huge stress. This is a complete own goal, partly because we didn't look after our supply chain design for the last 15 years.
Para naman kay dating punong ministro Malcolm Turnbull, pagkakataon ito upang itulak ang renewable energy.
We are more secure that when we are less dependent on imported fossil fuels. And the way we do that is with electrification. You know, as many people have said, there is no strait which can be blocked to stop the sunshine or the wind.
At yan ang binuong ulat ni Deborah Grokey para sa SBS News na isinalin sa ating wika. At muling mapapakinggan ang mga ulat at panayam sa aming website, puntahan sbs.com.au/Filipino. Bisitahin din ang aming social media accounts sa SBS Filipino at i-follow kami sa Instagram at SBS Filipino. At ngayong Semana Santa, kilalanin naman natin ang isang teenager mula sa Melbourne na sa murang edad ay aktibong nagsisilbi sa simbahan bilang altar server, pianist at choir conductor. Narito ang ulat ni Sheila Joy Labrador.
I feel so blessed and grateful to be in a different place, obviously from Pinas, and having a whole new opportunity and life. So I just wanted to parang give back to the Lord, and just, yeah, that's my way of giving back. Obviously at a young age, I don't really have as many opportunities. So.
Ito ang nakaukit sa puso't isipan ng 15 taong gulang na si Juanito Rainil Colliantes. Siya ang solong anak ng isang pharmacist na si Lily Ann at engineer Reinhold Juan Colliantes mula sa Melbourne. Higit 5 taon din itong miyembro ng Australian Children's Choir na nakasungkit ng gold medal sa Sacred Section sa Choir Games sa Auckland, New Zealand taong 2024. Si Juanito hindi lang isang mang-aawit. Sa kanyang murang edad, magaling at tumutugtog siya sa simbahan ng trumpet, piano. Isa din siyang altar server. At pinakabago niyang responsibilidad na ginagampanan ay ang pagiging choir conductor. Kwento niya, nakuha niya ang pagkahilig sa musika at instrumento sa kanyang ina na mula sa angkan ng mga musically inclined sa Pilipinas. Maliban sa pagkanta, una siyang nagka-interes sa pagiging altar server o sakristan sa edad na 3 taong gulang at naipagpatuloy niya ito nang lumipat sa Australia.
Kita ko rin like when I was even younger po in Singapore, nung mga 3 po nung may isip na po ako, nakaka-inspire kasi yung mag-proposition, buhat nila yung cross nila. Eh, parang just interesting dahil lahat niya ng tao nakatingin sa'yo na ano ako nung bata ako, nakatingin din ako lagi dun sa altar boy. Kaya sabi ko parang, gusto ko din try when I get older. Uh-huh. So, when we started here po sa Australia, when we first arrived, we've been to the same church po again and again. Very po devoted yung pamilya ko po. So lagi po kami pumunta sa church. Lagi na akong, parang from the start, my first time going to church, parang involved na din po ako na I was just doing the little thing like carrying the message stick. Not the full altar server, pero just yung message stick during the gospel. Kaya nakita ko yung mga kasama, sabi ko parang, mas parang it seems like a nice opportunity. So, nung when I was eligible po, nung grade 3, nag-join po ako. And I've been doing it since po.
Dahil interesado, sumailalim siya sa training sa simbahan.
Bago po ako naging altar server nung grade 3, before, like a few weeks before Holy Thursday, we had like a training session po. Tinuro sa amin anong gagawin, anong kailan ring yung mga bell, yung paano mag-procession. Tapos we also had like a Holy Thursday na training just for yung event na siya, obviously very different to regular mass.
At hindi nagtagal, nangyari ang kanyang pangarap at ibinahagi niya ang hindi makakalimutang karanasan.
Parang I just felt so parang honored na nasa-serve ko yung si God, nasa-serve ko si Lord, nakasama ko yung pari, katabi ko po, na binubuhat ko yung mga vestments niya po, some of yung mga cups po, na I just felt na parang wow, finally doing it. So yeah, it's fine. It was a really good experience. It was Holy Thursday po, so there was like 10 of us po. So it wasn't the heaviest load, pero yeah, I got a lot of opportunities to try just to start. I think one of yung mga biggest, it's like when I first did it po, nung Holy Thursday, nung year 9, nung grade 3 po, being able to carry like yung mga candles, alam mo po yung mga bigat para dun sa, during yung open po yung church. I think that was a really fun experience. And with yung also yung Holy Easter Saturday vigil po, being with all the candles, yung incense po. It was really, ako naglagay po nung nilalagay sa loob, yung fuel ng incense. Kasi hindi ako nasunog, nilalagay ko lang. Pero talagang, I just remember that on yung mga first few days or first few times ko doing the altar serving.
Hindi ko mahirap.
I think it's just more looks na ma-heavy. Pero I feel na guided din ako by the Lord. Kaya nabubuhat ko.
Sa ngayon, may mga linggo na isa siyang altar server pero mentor na siya ng mga bagong recruits. Dahil aktibo pa rin sa simbahan, lumawak ang kanyang pagkahilig sa musika, lalo tumutugtog na din siya ng piano sa misa sa kanilang eskwelahan at sa simbahan na kanilang dinadaluhan.
Meron po kaming sariling church nila, mami ko po. Ako tumutugtog sa mga nagpo-flute, tapos meron kaming singer minsan. So yun yung sabi ko, every fortnight po or sometimes every week. This week meron po kami. Tapos nagpa-piano din po ako dun sa choir din namin kung wala yung gitarista namin po. Tsaka yung sa school ko rin, natumutugtog na ako sa mga school mass namin for yung choir din namin sa school. So talagang nag-expand na din yung piano playing, piano playing ko po for choir. So
pinakabago niyang ginagampanan ngayon maliban sa pagtugtog ng piano sa simbahan. Isa na siyang choir conductor simula taong 2024.
Nagyari was na they needed a choir conductor for isang kanta kasi was a bit more hard na. Kasi dati wala silang conductor. Sabi ko, sige, pwede ka ba? Pwede ko daw try. Tanong ko yung presidente ng choir. Sabi, sige, try mo. Tapos sabi ko, okay lang. Parang maayos naman. It's a fun experience. It's another experience for the church po. Pero it was really interesting having to hear everyone in front of you. Obviously, it wasn't that easy sa umpisa. Pero ngayon din nagiging, it's better na po. Well, very good na ngayon. It took a lot of time. Mga a few times din na nanibago sila na look up na sa conductor. Pero I think na-show ko naman sa nila na I can help them. I feel naman na, obviously grateful din ulit na they respect me. Tapos na, I feel just proud of myself na natutulungan ko sila. And nasa-serve ko din yung Lord at the same time.
Kabilang sa kanyang mga tinuturuan sa choir ay pamilya. Ibig sabihin, mas may edad sa kanya. At hindi lang sa Filipino community na churches. Sila kumakanta, pati sa mga Catholic Church na karamihan ay mga lokal o Australians sa Melbourne.
May choir po kami, tapos yun, ako po yung, we have mga 20 members, ako po yung conductor po nila. So I keep them in time, try to give them feedback po and try to improve. I conduct po sa church, kasama ko yung mami ko po, nag-flute din siya. Dun sa church, nag-conduct ako dun sa once a month po, every second Sunday po. And kung magsabay yung conducting and yung playing ko po, I do both. Pero usually kung if I'm doing one of yung conducting or yung playing, hindi na ako mag-alter serve. So, minsan po may event kami na Pilipino, na nakakunta kami sa mga Filipino mass. Pero most of the time doon sa conduct ko, mostly English. Kasi English yung parish. Australian yung parish namin po. Hindi siya Filipino community po.
Ibinahagi niya ang paboritong kinakanta ng choir kung saan si Juanito ang choir conductor at kanilang paboritong tinutugtog sa piano.
I think for me, it's, alam mo po yung breath of God po. And just, yeah, really fun to conduct. Trying to get the volumes na parang di naman too much at once.
How about yung pagpa-play mo ng piano? Ano man yung pinaka-paborito mong piece sa church?
I think it's Spirit and Grace po by Ricky Manalo. I've met him as well when I was in Singapore po. So, yeah, I think it's just coming back. I think matagal na rin yung kanta na yun and I heard it when I was 3 years old and I was really young. So, feels good na finally I can play it as well.
Bukod sa pagiging musician, magaling din sa academics si Juanito. Kaya susi niya para hindi maapektuhan ang kanyang pag-aaral sa music ministry ay time management.
I think it's just having a timetable and having a clear layout of what you're gonna do for the next week or, you know, just parang alam mo lang paano kung you have to spend more time on this, prioritize yung mga, see, like for example, may math test, do that first and then sure, I can just make up, maybe sleep unfortunately a bit later or, you know, spend more time instead of playing around or something like that.
Binibigyan mo talaga ng oras to serve?
Apo. I mean, kasi it's only like an hour a week with yung altar serving, you just pop in po during the mass and it's not really that big of a commitment din po.
Kahit teenager pa si Juanito, naiintindihan niya ang kahalagahan ng buhay na may pananampalataya at pagsisilbi.
I think my spiritual life feels very happy and proud of my physical life po na using my talents and gifts to serve the Lord and do multiple things, helping others as well with the music that I do. And
are you aware of that, na na-inspire mo sila?
I don't try to think of it much na natutulungan. I just want to be the best version of myself to other people and hopefully I do something pero hindi naman ako ganun ka-aware na natutulungan ko sila. So I feel even more blessed and grateful Kasi lahat ng talents ko, I believe galing kay God na tinulungan niya ako. Kaya I'm just trying to give back and just feel really good po na natutulungan ko po. A lot of people. Sometimes po na may nagpupunta sa amin saying, parang thank you so much, parang you helped me reflect during the mass. And I think that just makes me feel really good na.
Na-inspire mo sila.
Apo, with yung playing ko or conducting.
Inamin ng Binatilio. Ang kanyang ministry sa simbahan ay bonding na din ng kanyang pamilya. At ipinagpapasalamat niya na nagkaroon siya ng magulang na walang sawang sumusuporta at naging gabay niya.
I feel even more blessed and grateful sa lahat ng talents ko. I believe galing kay God na tinulungan niya ako. Kaya I'm just trying to give back and just feel really good po na natutulungan ko po. A lot of people. Sometimes po na may nagpupunta sa amin saying, parang thank you so much, parang you helped me reflect during the mass. And I think that just makes me feel really good na natulungan ko po sila.
Na-inspire mo sila.
Apo, with yung playing ko or conducting ko.
Alam ni Juanito, magiging occupied o busy siya sa pag-aaral sa susunod na mga taon. Pero sabi niya, ipagpapatuloy niya ang kanyang music ministry sa simbahan habang nasa high school. Planong aralin niya na kurso sa universidad ang nasa field sa healthcare. At dalangin niya, sana'y patuloy siyang maging magandang halimbawa sa kabataan at maipagpatuloy ang paglilingkod sa Panginoon sa paraang alam niya.
Parang kasi fun experience naman sa akin, like tumututog po parang hindi naman siya ganong kahirap or ganon naman. Parang it's just more just jamming kasama mami ko po while also serving the Lord. I think talagang just the way they raised me, the way they kept my tree growing, na how I am as a person, they disciplined me over my, well, how much time they spent with me as well over past 15 years na buhay ako. I think, yeah, that's really just what's really just shaped how I am as well. Gusto niya yun, nurture na with yung my extra things I'm doing po. Just two small steps, don't try to do too much once. Obviously, it might feel annoying na parang ang bagal mo, pero I think consistency just really works out. It shows in my piano as well. I wasn't really like the best, pero I just kept playing for a while. And I think I got pretty far naman na bigay ako ng opportunity ng church. And nagdire-diretso na din po. So yung consistency and just not trying to do too much at once. I just get blessed by the Lord na I think with what I'm doing, I think it's just what I'm getting back. That's why I'm just trying to give back as well na keep serving and do great things po.
Sheila Joy Labrador para sa SBS Filipino.
At sa pagkakataong ito, kilalanin naman ang Pinoy na naging grief counselor sa Australia matapos pumanaw ang kanyang partner. Paano naging tulay ang kanyang pighati sa pagtulong sa ibang tao? Narito ang panayam ni Nikki Gregorio.
The last conversation that we had was like, kaya mo yan, darling, like, kaya mo yan, like, he was fighting, was saying na, you know, kakayanin ko to for us, you know, I had a good future. And I don't go as far as to say, and sorry for his mother. She called me that night and she was saying, Michael is dead, wala na siya. And it was like, I remember this fully because it was such a weird response. And dito ginagagawa ba ako? Like, I can't handle this right now.
Pumanaw ang partner ni Kevin C. noong panahon ng COVID. At mula noon, hinanap niya ang kasagutan sa kung bakit kinailangang mawala ng kanyang pinakamamahal. Di niya inakala na ang kanyang mga katanungan pala ang magdadala sa kanya sa sagot na ito. Ang pagdadalamhati, ang magiging tulay upang siya'y makatulong sa iba.
His name is Michael. He's half Japanese, half Filipino. We were in a relationship, I believe, for 2 years. And it was a really great relationship. I come from a conservative family. So it's Christian. It's not really, you know, necessarily accepted. It took me 25 years to really start entertaining who I am. So you can see how quite suppressed I was all this time. So what happened was, he was my second partner and I never really expected to get accepted. You know, I was good with the idea. This is a secret all my life. I'm going to just, the plan was kind of like to just separate slowly and just do this thing.
Hindi inakala ni Kevin na matatanggap ng kanyang pamilya at ng pamilya ni Maiko ang kanilang relasyon. Ngunit naging maayos ang lahat. Aminado siya na nasa high point sila ng kanilang relasyon noong tamaan ng COVID si Maiko.
The last conversation that we had was like, kaya mo yan, darling. Like, kaya mo yan. Like, he was fighting, was saying na, you know, kakayanin kita for us, you know, I had a good future. But he needed dialysis. There was the hospital that was hosting him that did not have a dialysis. Their department for the nurse for the dialysis that wasn't able to go because of the COVID pandemic. So he had to move to PGH to be able to get that kind of service. The problem was, when he was moved there, I think the first night or just a very few nights, he died of cardiac arrest. So it was absolutely not expected. This was not like a guy who's like mentioned that, oh, he has 10% chance to live. It's really, really bad. It was just that the medicine that was being injected on him just need dialysis. So it was absolutely not expected at all. And I won't go as far as to say, and sorry for his mother. She called me that night and she was saying, Michael is dead, wala na siya. And I was like, I remember this fully because it was such a weird response. And dito ginagawa mo ba ako? Like, I can't handle this right now. It's so bad that I would rather take it as a joke.
What were your coping mechanisms when, you know, you were dealing with a grief? Because people have different ways of coping. Some people just push it down. Some people talk it out. They really exercise a lot, work a lot. What were your coping mechanisms when that happened?
That's a very good question. And alam ko ang mental health, meaning alam ko yung depression, alam ko yung anxiety. So I know I had it. I know I'm feeling it. Pero hindi ko alam ano dapat gawin kasi I'm very into the literature of it, nagbabasa ako, and I was like, I know what to do, like knowledge wise gets ko siya, but there was nothing inside me that inspires me to do such things, to recover. Parang there was no push. In the same way that my sister would always ask, kamusta ka na, is there anything I could help you? And I know I needed help, but I could only say I don't know. You know, I don't know what to do. I think one of the ways I cope, which I would say, I wouldn't say is both healthy or unhealthy, was I reached out to strangers. Like, I went into Tinder, not necessarily to date. It was very clear to me that I'm not romantically inclined. I was very public with that, that, hey, if you're going to date someone that just has someone freshly died, it's kind of on you, like, sorry, ha? But I was very public about it na namatayan ako. I really just wanted to connect with people. I got a psychiatrist, got meds, but I think it was for specifically for the symptoms, not necessarily for my grieving, for being bereaved. So my brother was gracious enough, and by some form of chance or divine intervention, he knew someone that was a grief coach, and he was like, this grief coach came in to me, wanted to work with me. Maybe she can help you out. So he connected us together. Her name's Jo, her name's JM in that case. So after that, she did some grief coaching with me, and I think it's exactly what I needed.
Nung makilala niya ang kanyang grief counselor, natuto siyang magpatuloy at magplano muli para sa kanyang kinabukasan. Isa sa mga naging plano niya ay maging isang grief counselor din.
This is not to say, but let's be clear, I'm not bad talking a lot of psychologists or the field specifically, but I do have a good number of people I serve that comes from psychologists. And the reason for this, I think, is while I don't think they have evil intentions, Psychotherapy might be in general is looking for symptoms such as depression, loss of appetite, anhedonia, loss of interest in life, and looking for ways to be able to curb those things. I don't blame them because, let's be honest, in the mental health pandemic, we kind of want to serve fast because there's a lot of people that need help. So I think the difference in what I do as a grief coach is I'm really willing to go down and dirty with all the memories and emotions. I would usually say this in my sessions, and this would be always be the introductions I will always say. Number one, I would say, I would always mention how Mickey, this space is for you and for you alone. There's absolutely nothing wrong that you can say here. And I would even go as far as to say that you avoid the word sorry here because this is your space. There's whatever you say here is subjective truth. It's not objective truth, meaning this is what happened to you. This is how you understand it. So be bold and be brave to be able to say those things.
Kasi nga, you've gone through loss as well. And you know, this is your job. Part of your job to really hear people out. How do you kind of detach yourself so you're not always feeling the heaviness of it?
That's a really great question. And I think I have to say that I have a great support system, which is my partner that really understands, that we have that numbing moment, and I have a lot of people that I can discuss at the end of the day. But I would always say that being able to hear those and be invested, I don't put down the walls and put up walls and say, "Diyan ka lang, patient ka." I learned in a weird sense that there are two kinds of empathy. There's one where I can tell you, Kevin, I lost someone, that I can say, I'm here, I understand your loss, I'm another person, and I say, I understand that loss, and I'm really sad for you. I can empathize, I can understand that loss. I've had this weird thing, and I think some other people would be, or some people may echo this, that I have this kind of empathy that every time I watch a movie, for example, I don't get to be a watcher, I get to be the person in the movie. That's why I hate horror movies. I can see some people hate horror movies, get scared, but after the thing, they're done. Like they see it as a visual experience. It's too immersive for me.
Minsan kasi, yun nga, parang you grieve your way, you grieve up till whenever you need to grieve. But with Pinoy, sometimes it's, hanggang ngayon pa rin ba, nalulungkot ka pa rin? Bakit hindi ka pa over? But hindi ka pa maka-move on? Yung, di ba, madalas din sa atin, whether break up, or hiwalayan, or may namatayan, or parang move on ka na. Life moves forward. So what can you say about nung nalalagyan ng tanning ang grief?
Believe it or not, even in the US has that problem. So yes, the Filipinos have that, but it's also a universal response. Why? We like to avoid grief. You're going to notice the easiest response that we have would be to make statements. Marami pa dyan, alam mo yan, makaka-move on ka. Someday, while it's all good intention, it really cancels out the present and says, oh, think of the future, let's go for the future. One of the things about grief, or one way I confirm it's grief, kahit kano kababaw pa yan, some people would say losing 2,000 pesos, hindi grievous yan, like there's absolutely nothing. But if that 2,000 pesos was extremely relative to their future, then they will grieve about it in a way that you wouldn't. So they're experiencing things that life one day at a time is because that muscle to build the future, to understand, to process things, okay, ito yung meron ako, paano ito maging for my tomorrow. It's a start pa lang yan. They're really starting to build their future one at a time. So you can't really tell them na parang, oh, look, 6 months in the future, baka may bagong jowa ka na. Look, 6 months, in three, 2 months in the future, kasi baka may bago na dyan, may lalaki na may dating ka. They really can. They're really living one day at a time. Even ask them, what's your week going to be like? Probably, blank face sila. I'm not. I can just only, I'm trying to do things slowly.
What do you say about yung thinking na there is really no recovery from grief? It's more of you learn how to live with it.
I do believe I echo that. I do believe the goal. I always say this in my sessions that the goal is not to heal from grief. Take that away from your mindset that it is a disease. It is someone very unwelcome. But the goal of the way I work is I want you to know that someday they're going to be your friend. But for now, it's going to be a monster. It's going to be something that you're going to dislike. And that's absolutely fine because they're an absolute stranger. So it's very clear to me that it's not something that disappears, grief. It will always be something that stays with you. It's just a matter of changing your relationship with it. I will preface it with this. Now, every time a grief happens, you change. I truly believe this. When, especially a death or a critical loss happens, you really change differently. The hardest part about grieving is saying, I should still be like this. Dapat ganun pa rin ako. Dapat ganun pa rin ako magmahal. Dapat ganito pa rin perception of the world. Dapat malaki pa rin iniipon ko and things like that. But one of the things I always tell the people I work with is, you're going to change. You're going to change immensely. And one of the friction is going to be you saying, this shouldn't be me. But you're going to notice you have a different perception in life starting now in the way that you're going to see work, finances, love, loss, humanity in general. And that when that time comes, I know you're going to have a hard fist, but start being loose on yourself and opening your palms and say, okay, who can it be? Who is this? And give the patience and kindness to explore who it's going to be.
At para sa mga kababayan natin, meron pong lifeline, libreng crisis support hotline ang Australia. Yan ay 131114 sa mga sino man na nais humingi ng tulong. At maraming salamat po sa lahat ng mga nakinig sa atin ngayong araw ng Lunes. Magbabalik ako bukas para sa ating pagbabalita at paghatid ng programa.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify o sa iba pang podcast apps.